Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. I'm excited to be here with you. This is Saturday. It's Torah Today, His Story. We're in weeks 50 and 51. Of course, we missed last week. I had a funeral to go to. A family member went on to be with the Lord. And so we were in our celebration of our family member's transition. And so I'm back this week. I was off the entire week. And so that's been an exciting time for me. So I'm excited to be back here with you. Listen, let's come on and assemble for the reading and the hearing and the reverencing of Yah through the fellowship around Torah. This is important. And I believe that God is truly resetting his people to reiterate what his order is for his people. Listen, we've been reset. We've been recalibrated. The master made the final sacrifice that reset us and recalibrated us back to our original order. Now, there was a law that was given, and although we are not able to completely follow all of those things, like we don't kill the fatted calf, we don't do all of that. We don't do the killing and the altar offerings and all of that kind of thing, but we are to maintain, even though we don't do the practices, we're to maintain the principles of Torah, and it's so invaluable. I believe with all of my heart that it's God's desire for us to go back to the place where we remember, and you'll notice that all of these things that we're talking about over the weeks, even in today's text, this is Moshe giving these people a dose of remembrance. You need to remember where you came from. You need to remember what the Father has done. You need to remember what he's spoken to you. You need to remember the covenant. I say this all the time, and it bears repeating, that the two biggest fights you will have in your entire life are, what did God say, and do you believe it? Those are the two major fights of your life. I promise you, you can put this in any category of your life, whether it's relational, I'm talking about personally, whether it is in your job, whether it is concerning the gift of God that's on your life, your calling, your ministry. Of course, all of those things that I mentioned are already a part of your ministry and your calling. Of course, they all go together, but I just separated them for the fact or the sake of you understanding that these different dimensions are just what they are. They're different dimensions of who you are, and God wants to be glorified in every dimension of your life. And this is what Torah is about. The principles of Torah, they put us back in the place where we are in remembrance of who he is, what his character is, and prophetically gives us the prophetic timeline for what he's doing right now. I promise you, everything that we've been reading is completely accurate to where God is concerning his people in this season. And so today, we are going over weeks 50 and 51, and I'm going to do my best. I don't know how far we're going to get in that, but last week's portion for Torah was When You Come In. That's Parashat Ki Tavo, and this week's Parashat is Nitzavim, that's standing, okay? The secondary is Vayalech, which is he went. And so we need to understand that these portions of Torah, Moshe is sharing his last, he's sharing his last desire for these people. He's like a father that is about to die, and he knows it's his time, and so he gathers all of his children together, and he says, listen, I want to give you guys some instructions. I want to remind you of the instructions that you need to know, because when I close my eyes, I know y'all going to do the ridiculous. I know you're going to do the most, but I want to make sure things are established and put in place so that you can move in the direction that you've been called to move in and receive all of the benefits that God has promised your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You need to be in position to receive this. And so I want to kind of come into this thing by first of all sharing. Let me share this. Last week's portions were Deuteronomy 26 through 29, 8. And then this week's portions, then the prophetic is Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 22, and then Luke 23, verses 26 through. This week's portion is Deuteronomy 29, verse 9 through 31, 30, okay? And then Isaiah 61, verses all the way to verse 10. No, Isaiah 61, 10 through 63, 9, and then Luke 24, 1 through 12, and Luke 24, 13 through 43. I promise you I'm not going to be able to get through all of that. But what I'm going to do starting the month of October is I'm going to at least do the hour broadcast on the weekends, because we need to be able to take the time to study Torah, and we're going to need this time. So the rest of the weekly broadcast, unless it's a special, it will only be 30 minutes still. But I am sensing the direction of the Lord, the leading of the Lord on this portion, to extend this to the hour or the two-hour portion so that we can cover the things that we need to cover in this season and in this time, because I believe this is so important. So let's go ahead and get underway. Father, we thank you right now. We know we don't have much time, but we're praying, God, that you would direct our hearts and direct our minds and direct our mouths so that we can hear and receive and say all of the things that are necessary for your people to hear and receive, and for us to say today that they might be impacted by your kingdom, your influence, your impact would affect their lives today because of the word that's shared today. We love you so much, and we won't take it back. In the name of Lord, we thank you. Amen. Okay, so listen, we want to jump right in. I want to start with chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, and the reason why I want to start there is because it's such a common place for people to start. Everybody wants to talk about the blessing, but I'm just going there simply because I want to direct you to the fact that the blessing is predicated on something. This blessing is predicated. It is a conditional blessing, and you need to understand that. A lot of people don't really understand the dynamics of relationships. But when we look at the relationship that the Father desires with his people, it's a very conditional relationship. Now, there are some things that are free. Salvation was free. It was on no conditions of your own. It was nothing that you did to receive that. But it's a part of the package. It's a part of what he wants to do. So the things that he has in his power to release, the things that he possesses, the inheritance, all of that that is in his power to give you, it's on the condition that you follow the instruction and come into the full maturity that you need to come into to be able to execute the inheritance, because the inheritance is not just about you. It's about those whom God will connect you to, those whom you are divinely connected to in this season and in seasons to come. So when we look at verse chapter 28, we talk about the blessings. The blessings are there, all of these things. And these are keys to prospering. The key to prospering is your position. I want to say this. The key to prospering is your position. There are a few verses that I want to share here. Verse 1, it says, and it shall come to pass if. I'm going to say that again. And it shall come to pass if. What does that mean? There's a predication here. There is a contingency here. It shall come to pass. In other words, this is a settled fact. This is established. This is a matter-of-fact thing if this happens. So it says, if you shall hearken, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yah thy God to observe to do. We talk about observing to do all of the time, so you need to be mindful of the fact that whatever it is that you're observing, you're going to do it eventually. And that's why you cannot be in environments that are not conducive to what you're trying to do. I almost got real urban there. To what you're trying to do. If you're saying that you want to, that you love God, if you're saying that you're part of the kingdom, if you're saying that you're his son or you're his daughter, you have to put yourself, allow yourself to be in the environments that are good for the culture that God has put you in, that cultivate you, that prepare you to flourish in the way that he's called you to. So this is important. He said, if you observe to do all his commandments, what I command thee this day, that Yah, your God, will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Listen, there is a position that God desires for his people. And, of course, you can go in your own time and read all of these different blessings, but there is a progression in the blessings. But the beginning of that is that God wants to set you apart, and you'll notice that. And I think God's going to really give it to me in a way that I don't have to go point by point in these different sections. So I'm just going to follow his leading right through here. When you understand that there's a process and there's a progression to these things. Even when you look at the blessings of the Lord, it talks about going, blessed shall you be in the city and in the field. These are different levels. These are different dimensions of the blessing. Because, see, when you're a farmer, the field is important, but you don't get to the city without having been in the field first. He's got to bless your field before you can go into the city, because everything that you're getting in the field, everything that happens in your wilderness experience is what you're taking into the city where the people are, where the multitudes are. God, I thank you this morning. I thank you this afternoon. Hallelujah. So you've got to be prepared to understand the progression of this move of God. He says, I want to bless you in the fruit of your body. Notice there's fruit three times here. Your body, your ground, your cattle, your increase of your kind and flocks and thy sheep. Listen, I want to bless you in your body first because you have to first be the container that can carry the fruit that I need. You've got to be the container that can carry the fruit. There's something that you're going to need to offer me. The Bible talks about us being an offering, talks about us being a living sacrifice. Are you hearing me? Offering ourselves up. That's the least that we can do. Well, there's a fruit that God is after. There's something that's been planted in us that he has an expectation of a harvest. He has an expectation of glory. It's Christ in you, the Mashiach in you, the hope of glory, the expectation of the doings of God. There's something that's been embedded, implanted in you that's supposed to bring forth fruit. And we know that that's one of the first commands, to be fruitful and multiply. So he's talking about blessing you and positioning you to do the thing that he declared you should do from the very beginning. He said in the fruit of your ground. So if you're producing in the fruit of your body, I want to go back to body. If you're producing in your body, then you are well in your health. Are you hearing me? You are not impaired. You are not in a position where you can't bear. You're not in a position where you're not well and you can't function. Everything is in divine order, and I believe that this is a season that God is bringing people back to their divine order of their original structure. The DNA has been reset so that you can be all the God man that God has called you to be, the God woman that God has called you to be. And many of you that are listening under the sound of my voice, there are some things that you have had to endure, some things that you've been through. If you go to Daniel chapter 11, I want you to read that in your spare time. It talks about there will be sons. There will be some of us that go through some things. We're going to go through some things. I know people think that we just were in a bad place and all, but there are some things that God really allowed us to go through because of who we are, because of what we've been called to, so that you will go through some things so that God can use the mechanisms in you, so that he can use the things that he's deposited in you as you've gone through those things to get the glory and to bring his story to the people. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So this is important. He said the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground. You know about this. If you don't have the fruit of ground, then you don't have an offering to bring. Again, all of this is about an offering. Every one of these things is the dimensions of the offerings that you're expected to bring to God. So he's going to provide the offering. He always provides the sacrifice. Ask Abraham. The sacrifice was provided. Anybody that he ever desired something from, he always positioned them to possess the thing that he was asking for. When we talk about the children of Israel, when those laws went into place about offering up sacrifices and that kind of thing, where did those sacrifices come from? He didn't ask for it and they had to go find it. It was already provided. It was already given to them to operate based on what they possess. So I want you to come into this mindset in this season that you're not expecting or looking for God to do anything. It's already done. What you need to do now in this season is to believe God, to walk into the manifestation of that thing. You need to believe God to reset you in your heart and in your mind. Reset the dimensions of you so that you'll understand what he's already provided, so that you can use those things that he's provided, so that he can bless those things and allow you to operate from those places, and that men would see your good works and glorify him. So I can't go into all of the blessings, but I do want to say this. There are some things in here that are very relational. If you go to verse 8, it talks about how he's going to deal with your enemy. Are you hearing me? I love this portion. He says they're going to rise up against you one way, but they're going to be smitten before thy face, and they'll come out against you one way, but they're going to flee before you seven ways. I love that because it talks about how completely he's going to destroy, how completely he's going to cause them to get away from you, how completely this severing is going to happen between you and your enemies. There's going to be a difference made. Verse 8 says, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. Again, this is relational, and it talks about the dimensions of the blessing, okay? The storehouse. That's after the basket, because in the beginning it talked about him blessing your basket and your store, these blessings coming on you and overtaking you, being blessed in your basket and your store. Well, what's the basket? It's the container that you're carrying the offering in. But you're going to get beyond that thing because you're going to become the offering. See, in one season, I need you to bring me an offering outside of you. And then in another season, I need you to become the container for the offering that you're offering up to me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So look at this dimension here. It says, I'm going to bless in all that thou settest thy hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which he gives you. This is very specific, and I say this all of the time because you need to understand that God's not blessing what you want to do. He's blessing what he's already done. He said that he's going to bless you in the land which he gave you. This is relational here, and this is important because I know that we're in the season of divine connections, mergers, and marriages, and everybody's talking about these uncommon marriages taking place and all of that, and I'm with you. I'm here. I've heard it already. I've been talking about it for several years, and I agree, but one of the things that you're going to need to understand is that God has already set the parameters. He's blessing what he has covenanted with. He's blessing what he has created. The thing that he desires is what he's blessing. So he says here, what I've given you, I'm going to bless that land. That's what I'm going to bless. So you need to make sure in this season that you are divinely connected to whom you're connected to. You need to make sure in this season. I told my mother this the other day, and I was talking to a prophet friend of mine today, and my prophet brother, and I said this because this thing is really strong on me in this season, and while I'm even getting ready to bring it up, I feel just a surge of the anointing because we need to come to a place of where we're grateful. We need to get past this place where we're angry with God and angry with what we can't have and all this. Listen, I'm thankful for what God has taken from me. In another season, I didn't feel that way. I felt some kind of way about the stuff that had been taken from me. I felt some kind of way about people that had left my life. I felt some kind of way about stuff that I had lost. I'm thankful today for what God has taken from me, and I'm thankful for what he won't let me have right now. I promise you, if you get in that mindset, you're going to be blessed. Just be thankful for what he's taken and for what he won't let you get to, because it's not about his no. And I know a lot of people like to capitalize on God just said no, and he said wait. No, 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 no. I want you to understand there's a dimension of God that he wants you to really understand about him. It's not about his no. It's not about his wait. It's about his yes and amen concerning your life. He really wants to get you to the dimension of yes and amen. Yes, absolutely yes. This is what we're doing. I want to expose you to it. I want to give you the encounter, and I want you to actualize it. He wants you to have yes and amen encounters in this season, and that's going to come because you're able to follow what he said you to do. That's what this law, these statutes, these judgments, these commands are all about. It's not about locking you in and punishing you. It's about making sure that you have the parameters for how he's going to bless you. That's important, okay? I want to show you this here. In verse 10, it talks about how the people of the earth are going to respond to the blessing of the Lord on you. It talks about that they're going to fear. They're going to fear because of what they see on you. This is where we are prophetically on God's calendar, on heaven's calendar. He's positioning his people. And I promise you, we only are days away from a major shift. We are days away from a major transition. The 21st starts a whole nother season for us. Beyond that, beyond the new feast that's coming up, beyond Yom Kippur that's coming up, beyond Yom Teruah and all of these things that are coming up on the calendar, I need you to understand that there's a major shift happening. We've got people declaring peace and safety, which has not been done. We are actualizing some prophetic movement on God's calendar, and his feast days are surrounding those places. The 21st has been set by the United Nations, which I believe is the eighth king in the Bible. You can go study that, and we'll talk about that on some other occasion. But those that are listening to me, you know that I'll throw things out there, and there's something you're going to have to go study. But there's the eighth king, and he has declared peace and safety, and the Bible declares that sudden destruction shall come upon them. So I know we've been in a place, and I know people have capitalized, and they've done a lot to us to put us in positions where we feel like we can't bring our head above water, but God is shifting some things in this season. On the 21st, they are declaring that to be a day of peace and safety. Go look it up on the UN's website. You'll see it, that they are actually using that wording, peace and safety, and there is actually a dove on the website with an olive branch in the mouth, which, okay, I'm not going to go too far into that, which is so ironic. I'm just going to say it's ironic that we're just coming out of these seasons of all of these storms and all of this water covering the earth. And so that's the abating of the water. And now we want to declare peace and safety to all. I'm telling you, we are in a prophetic move of God that is going to be uncommon. We are getting ready to make his story for real. Sons of God, manifested sons of God, even in our portions, Isaiah 60, rise and shine, for your light has come. It's our season to rise and shine, and the darkness that's been set in the earth is our stage to shine. It's our stage to rise. We are the reflection of God in the earth, and he's calling us to this place that we're to be all that he's called us to be. I know it's been difficult, and it has not been easy to be all that you've been called to be, because you've had so many objections and so many aversions to your movement and to your prophetic decrees over your life and all of that. But listen, this thing is a wrap. It's a wrap, and the enemy knows it. He knows it. That's why he's pulled out all of the stops. That's why he's done all that he could do to you. And now that season has come to an end. It's time for you to rise, and it's time for you to shine. I don't want to get stuck in 28, but I want you to know verse 22 of 28. I want to bring that to your attention. It talks about the Lord shall smite thee with the consumption. We want to go over into these curses just for a second, because he set before you two things, life and death, blessing and cursing. And there is a response for either way you want to go. He says this. He said, he shall make the rain of your land powder. Are you listening to me? Who wants powder for rain? I'm promising you, that's not going to bring any kind of environment for the land to produce. When you're talking about bringing powder for rain, you're talking about this land is not going to be saturated. This land is going to be even drier than it was before. So if you think you've seen dry, just keep on being in a place where you don't want to follow God's instructions. Keep being in a place where you want to do what you want to do. You're going to see dry. Me and my prophetic brother on the line this afternoon, we were laughing, just talking about how God brought us back to the state of Michigan. We're both from here, but we've been all over the place and just doing the most, just doing other things. And God kept saying, go back. And we're like, no, I don't want to go back. And he will dry up some stuff. He'll cause your lake to dry up. I promise you, but he's already given you the instruction you need to walk into the next dimension, to walk into the next fulfillment, to walk into the next promise of God. Just like Elijah, listen, he said, this brook is dried up, but I'm sending you to a widow woman. And I promise you, the stuff that he sends you to, it don't always look like it's going to work out. You're like, okay, Lord, what are we doing here? What is this? She don't have no money. She's talking about she's about to make a cake and die. What's going on? Is this my answer? Is this my solution? What are we doing here? But he's taking us to a place where we can trust him, where we understand that trusting him should be above all things. The whole duty of man is to fear God. See, when you fear him, you trust him. When you fear him, you reverence him above everything else. You reverence him above all the stuff that you think you're going to make happen. So you get past all that place. I promise you, I'm past all of that. I'm sitting in a place today that I would have never desired to sit in as far as financially, never desired to sit in as far as how God is dealing with me, how things have been taken, and I'm just repositioned and reset to a place. People, they leave home. They don't want to go back. I don't have an issue with my parents or none of that. I love them, and I love being here where my mom is, but that's what happens when you make decisions that are against the decisions that are prospering you. Are you hearing me? Again, God has placed us in positions where he knew the decisions that we were going to make. This stuff is already written. It's not a mystery to him. I told y'all we wasn't going to get through all this, but I'm going to go through it the best I can. I got some notes here, and I want to throw some things out there at you from Deuteronomy 20. When you come in, and understand that when you come in, we talked about when you go out last week, and you know the old saying that old folks used to have, listen, when you go out, you represent me. I'm going to need you to get yourself all the way together and do right, because you're not just representing yourself, you're representing me. Now God is talking about when you come in. This is important that you understand there's some things that you've got to do when you come in. In chapter 26, it says, and it shall be when thou art come into the land that I'm going to give you. Listen, that I give you for an inheritance and a possession, the land that you're going to dwell in. This is the land that you're going to dwell in. There's some particular words that I want you to look up there. One of those words is inheritance, and we've gone over this before. That word is nakala, which means it denotes occupancy or possession. It also talks about an estate. When we talk about the state, it makes me think about how the enemy, how Satan lost his first estate. Those angels, they lost their first estate. It's a place, a property. It's a birthright. Are you listening to me? Something given by God, patrimony, something given by God. Another good word that you need to look up is possessive. That's that word, yarash, and that's important. When you look at this, it's something that God has given you to possess. When you see Adam and Eve, you see mankind. You see the possession of God that he's given to mankind. It denotes dispossession. When you talk about somebody possessing something, it also denotes dispossession of a thing, because all of these lands that they went into, they had to dispossess the people that were there, and expelling of a thing. It also talks about enjoying. Are you listening to me? It also puts you in a position. They're getting ready to come in here, and I'm on the broadcast. It talks about poverty that's supposed to come to the thing that you're dispossessing, that you're driving a thing out of a place. When you talk about a state, we're talking about a principality. It's a mindset is behind that place. It's a rule, a rulership. That estate dictates that somebody is a principality over or in rulership over. When we talk about basket, we're denoting the dimension of being. We talked about this a little bit. Basket is the beginning of a process. And when I think about that, I think about the history of my soap business, how I started out. I didn't have everything set up the way that I have it set up now, where I've got things wrapped and I've got labels. I actually started out of a box. God gave me a box. I don't even know where this box came from, but it was a beautiful box. And I cut my soap up, the first two batches that I made, and I lined them up in the box. And I was literally selling this soap from hand to hand, from my hand to my customer's hand. No ingredients, no nothing. They were just buying it out of the box. Are you hearing me? That was my basket. But then he took me to a place of, what is that? That's the next dimension of that business, where I am now no longer selling it out of the box, but now I got wrapping. Now I've got labels. Now I'm defining some things. I'm bringing some more definition to what's being done. And so that's what God was sharing with me concerning these things. I promise you, I'm not going to get through any of this. I might have to go on Periscope and on Facebook Live this week just to give you guys some more dimensions of this. So if you have not followed me already, I'm encouraging you to follow me on Facebook Live at Apostle Crystal Lee. That's KRISTAL. If you have not followed me on Periscope, the same, okay, and follow me there. Look at this this week. We're going to share some of these things because I know I'm not going to get through here. But Deuteronomy 26 discusses the outline of the doing. There are some things that you're going to have to do. Deuteronomy 27, I want to go there before we get off of here. It talks about the positioning of the tribes and how they were going to set up an altar of remembrance. This is the importance of setting up an altar of remembrance. It says here, and Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when ye pass over the Jordan unto the land which the Lord your God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which Yah, God, your God, giveth thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey, as Yah, God of your fathers, hath promised thee. Listen, there's something that I promised you, but I want you to follow a pattern here. So he sets up this thing, and what is this about? This altar of stones. As I was reading this, I was listening to the Holy Spirit. He said it's an altar of establishment. He says it's an established altar. Why is it made out of stone? Because I want to establish some things. When you look at the Bible and you look at stones, that's something that's a foundational thing. He says this is foundational. This altar is an altar of foundation. Are you listening to me? So this is what this is all about. It's about you offering up sacrifices on a definite, a defined, a divine, set aside, dedicated. This is a pattern of dedication. This altar right here is about you being able to set up an offering to eat and to rejoice. If you go through here, you'll understand where I'm going with this. And listen, he talks about them being charged. The people are being charged that same day. And he says, listen, stand upon Mount Gerizim. This is the mountain of the cutting off. This is the mountain of separation. He begins to name the tribes. I want to leave you with this so that you'll go and study this. I'm going to give you the first two tribes. He says, these are the people that are going to stand on Mount Gerizim to declare the blessing. What they were going to do is they were going to set on these different mountains. Gerizim was the first one. That means to separate, to cut off. And that first tribe there was Simeon, Shimon. What does that mean? To hear. It denotes diligence in hearing, one who hears. Of the power to perceive. It talks about a person that can listen to, that gives attention to a thing, one that's obedient, agreeing, agreeable, and yielding, one who has understanding of the language that's been spoken. Are you listening to me? Levi or Levi talks about the joining of a thing, to join to. This denotes a joining or an abiding, or one who cleaves or lends themselves to do a thing, to a joining. Are you listening to me? So go and study those words out. You'll note the dimensions there that are listed there. When you go over to the part where it discusses that the curses, it talks about sitting on another mountain. And this mountain, I'm trying to get to it right now. This mountain discusses the baldness, or the, that there is nothing there. It's a mountain of barrenness. It has nothing that it provides, and so that's what the curse is about. It doesn't provide anything that's going to be beneficial to you. So I want you to go through here and read these things. I didn't give you the Torah portions. I think I did. Yeah, I did for this week. I need you to go check that out. This is an amazing read, and it's going to show you exactly where we are right now when the standing portion of that. As you're standing. So listen, I love you so much. I thank God for you. Listen, God is clothing you with his garments of salvation. He's robing you with righteousness. You are the bride of God, and he's positioning you in this season to be prepared to meet him. This meeting him is not the catching away or the rapture as they speak of it, but it's an unveiling. It's an unveiling of the sons of God in this season. I love you. I appreciate you. Until the next time we come together, you are blessed, and I don't want you to forget it. God bless you.